generosity. As Ryan made his way through a wide lane that ran parallel to the direction Ferryman was taking, a building to his right erupted in a mushroom of orange fire. Huge chunks of shattered adobe flew around him, and he caught the smoky odor of burning gasoline.
Ah, fire blast.
Almost immediately, there was a second massive concussion from further toward the center of the ville. Ryan had to duck and protect his head from tumbling pieces of broken clay and brick. Dust and smoke billowed around him, and Ryan paused, trying to clear grit from his good eye. A woman came stumbling from a doorway just ahead of him, holding a little boy by the hand. Both were badly burned around the arms and faces. She saw Ryan standing there, like an inflexible apostle of death, and she tried to cry out. But instead, she fell to her knees.
Mom's real bad, mister.
Yeah. You'll get her some help, sir. That way, toward the main plaza.
Thanks, mister.
Yeah, I noticed, kid. Move it.
The boy darted off, followed more slowly by his mother, who kept her face averted from Ryan. From the direction Ferryman was heading in, he was probably making for the transport section of towns, expecting to grab an armored wag or a two-wheel to make his escape. A bullet struck the wall a yard from Ryan's face, showering him with splinters. He pressed himself into a doorway, trying to see where the attacker was hiding, but the moon was almost down, and it was extremely dark.
Looky, Outlander!
Ferryman?
What a surprise! You mean you didn't know who you were chasing, Ryan? Hard to believe.
We've taken Taos!
I warned the Baron. Figured you might try and come back tonight. Everyone knows the traitor's reputation where revenge is concerned.
From the sound of the voice, Ryan put the fleeing sect boss at the corner of the church, near a side entrance to the ville.
Want to give up, Ferryman?
Sure! The traitor shakes my hand, gives me a boot full of jack, and wishes me luck.
Ryan wasn't ready to lie to the sect boss. He didn't doubt that the traitor would shoot Ferryman dead at his feet if he caught him, a clean death by a bullet through the back of the head, if the traitor was feeling in a merciful mood. At last, Ryan had spotted him. Another pillar of reddish flames from behind him provided just enough light to pick out the pale blur of the sect boss's face. Ryan cocked the Ruger and leveled it carefully. But Ferryman realized the fire had revealed his position, and he pulled back out of sight, snapping off a shot at Ryan as he did.
What sort of blaster you got? Sounds like a big 38, maybe a 45.
Star model PD, 45. Most compact man stopper I ever had.
Ryan had heard of star blasters. He didn't know enough about them to know how many rounds the mag held. Ferryman wasn't likely to tell him.
Why not just turn around and walk away, Ryan? Let it lie. Let me get a two-wheel and make a run for it. Nobody'll know.
I'll know, Ferryman. Your Baron tried to backshoot every man and woman in the war wags, including me. And you're his sec boss.
Yeah. Too much on the table between us, ain't there? So what do we do?
The ville continued to self-destruct. The old church was at his shoulder across the alley. If he could get inside, then he had a real chance about flanking the sect boss. To think was to act. Ryan powered himself off the wall, hearing the bullet whiz by within inches. Then he was safe inside the ruthless building. Now he could move the length of the nave, and he'd be in a position to hit the sect boss from the shelter of the damaged wall by the altar. But Ferryman was on his own turf, and he moved even faster. A pain that felt like fire shot across Ryan's lower ribs. He went down.
How'd you like them apples, Outlander?
Ryan's fighting instinct had enabled him to keep hold of his blaster. If it had dropped to the debris-strewn floor in the Stygian gloom, he might never have found it again. With his left hand, he cautiously explored the wound, feeling stickiness around where his shirt was torn. He gritted his teeth and probed deeper. It was a long, lancing tear, but he couldn't feel an actual hole. The bleeding wasn't serious, and he crouched against the wall, ready to fight on. There'd be time to treat it later, if there was going to be a later.
You there, Carter?
There was another tremor, and a fountain of flames threw the interior of the church into momentary stark relief. Ferryman was caught, halfway down the aisle, cat-footing toward Ryan, his stubby automatic in his right fist. A tight smile was frozen on his lips. At a range of a dozen paces, Ryan felt a surge of triumph, knowing he couldn't miss him. The first round, aimed at the stopper, caught him in the chest, high on the right side. The second one clipped Ferryman's right shoulder, his instinctive dive for cover nearly throwing Ryan's aim. But Ryan instantly adjusted, and the final 357 round smashed into the falling man's face. Ryan saw the Star 45 spin for a moment in the air, then hit the left-hand wall, yards away from where the sec boss had gone down. Ryan didn't rush in, knowing that someone like Ferryman could easily have a hideaway somewhere on him. A small concealed pistol, maybe a .22. But his experience also told him that nobody could fake the sort of noises that were coming from the figure on the heap of rubbish. Three magnum rounds slowed a man down. Thrashing with his legs and body, the sec boss held both hands to his face, as if he were trying to keep it together. Ryan couldn't see clearly what damage that third bullet had done. He rose cautiously and took a couple steps toward the stricken man, the Ruger preceding him, covering Ferryman. The fire outside was dying down, and Ryan noticed that the shooting had become even more sporadic. There was still enough light coming through the shattered windows, though, for him to see his victim. The sec boss was locked tight into his own nightmare world of pain and horror. He rocked from side to side like a child with a fever, kicking out his legs in front of him, stiff, as though he were having a fit. Through the clasped fingers, Ryan was able to see enough to appreciate the rending damage the last round had caused. From the blood on the man's chest, it was probable that the first bullet would be the one that eventually killed him. But it was the last round that had destroyed him. Short of putting him out of the final misery, there was nothing Ryan could do, nothing that he wanted to do. The coup de grace bullet remained unfired beneath the hammer of the Black Hawk. The entire ville was now covered in a smothering shroud of gas smoke, several fires blazing uncontrollably. The shooting had stopped, and some of the crew of War Wags 1 and 2 were going around checking for anyone hiding from the traitor's righteous vengeance. Bodies were being dragged into piles, and the wounded were being treated. The traitor was standing in the center of the plaza, with JB and a few of the senior crew members. Standing in front of him, arms folded, was Baron Alias Carson. Ryan walked toward the group, knowing that the drama was nearly played out.
Ferryman!
Ryan flicked his right thumb downward in the universal gesture for someone killed.
He say anything about the fires? No? How about the Baron here? He start them?
He's saying plenty of nothing.
Only thing I'm interested in right now is whether any of you terminal fools have a supply of an immortality drug. If not, then I guess I don't have too much to say.
JB, his shirt torn from shoulder to wrist, looked at Ryan.
Seen anything of the Baron's woman? She's not among the dead.
No. I was sort of tangled with Ferryman. Got a crease across the ribs. We lose many?
Too many.
Wave of heat and shock as a building on the far side of the road went up in flames. From the size of the explosion and the color of the flames, it was obviously a gas store. Fiery rubble cascaded across towels, starting a dozen fresh fires. The traitor sucked on his lower lip.
This place is done. We're getting the wounded together. I got a burial party standing by. Wags have been called in. It's over.
Ryan looked at Alias Carson, amazed that the man could be maintaining his composure.
How about him?
No time for a real job. Most of the sec men are finished. Some others caught bullets. Blood price is paid.
The buildings go, captains and kings depart, but the land remains, traitor. You and me can't do shit about that. Nothing else matters. The land's what matters.
Without comment, the traitor lifted the muzzle of his Armalite. Alias Carson staggered back a dozen paces, glasses tumbling from his narrow nose. Blood marred the perfection of his light suit. His slender hands waved helplessly at the watching circle of men and women. He dropped to the ground, rolling onto his face in the trampled dust of his own ville. His body shuddered once, then lay still.
Talks like a baron, walks like a baron, acts like a baron. Dies just like you and me.
Dawn wasn't far off, though the skies around the burning bill were still dark. Only an occasional diamond star glittered coldly through the cirrus clouds. The two wags were lumbering cautiously along the blacktop, manned by the skeleton crews.